RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Joko Widodo Yudhoyono meeting positive signal to the world. President Joko Widodo orders to start mercury use in traditional mining. Now the news in detail. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the meeting of the sixth Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and the present Indonesian President Joko Widodo is a positive signal for the world. After attending a limited cabinet meeting on evaluation of the implementation of national strategy projects and priority programs in East Kalimantan, he further stated at the State Palace in Jakarta that the meeting between Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Joko Widodo saw political stability in Indonesia among the princes.
Ya kan Indonesia sekarang ini betul-betul menjadi harapan dunia internasional. Hal itu terlihat.
Indonesia is now a hope of the world. It is proven by requests from many heads of states to visit Indonesia and meet the president. In this month, besides King Salman's visit, there was also the IORA summit, and at the end of this month, President Joko Widodo will welcome French president. Then the Qatar head of state will also visit Indonesia, and there are still many requests from other countries to visit Indonesia. It shows that Indonesia's political condition is stable, and so is its economy. Therefore, it should be maintained. The Indonesia's democracy is indeed full of differences, but it is good for Indonesia.
Furthermore, Pramono Anung explained that the meeting between the sixth Indonesian president, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, and the present Indonesian president, Joko Widodo, is normal since both of them are prominent figures in Indonesia. Pramono feels that the meeting is important for the development of Indonesia. The request from the sixth Indonesian president, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, to meet President Joko Widodo was compared by Secretary General of Democratic Party Hinca Panjaitan at the sidelines of IORA summit. The use of mercury in mining activities in Indonesia has reached the alarming level. President Joko Widodo at a limited cabinet meeting on mercury use in traditional mining or small-scale gold mining companies said on Tuesday that at least 850 mining locations across Indonesia had bad impact on the environment. The president feels that the bad impact has caused a lot of people, including the miners' families, to suffer health problems. In addition, the use of mercury in mining activities will cause environmental damage around the mining site. Therefore, the president ordered his minister to stop the use of mercury.
First, improve the management of small-scale mining both inside and outside forest areas. Second, the use of mercury in traditional mining must be stopped. Third, tighten the use of mercury not only in traditional mining but also in medium and big-scale mining. Fourth, I have asked for evaluation of mercury procurement and distribution, including supervising the import of mercury.
Mercury. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said that people should be educated about the danger of the use of mercury. He also perceived that the people must be aware of the danger of mercury that can damage not only the miners but also their family. Besides, the president wants the government to provide alternate occupation for all miners if small scale of gold mining must be shut down. He also encourages the Minister of Health to provide free treatment for the affected mercury people. President Joko Widodo encouraged the alternate economic development in East Kalimantan province in his speech at a limited cabinet meeting on evaluation of the implementation of national strategic projects and priority programs in East Kalimantan. President Joko Widodo stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that the development is very necessary to overcome global economic struggle in mineral and coal sector. The president views that several alternate economic sectors could be developed in East Kalimantan, such as agriculture, fishery, and cultivation industry. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo hopes the economy in East Kalimantan will increase again after declining in 2016 as new crude palm oil industries, the building of new oil rig in Bontan, and the development of oil rigs by Pertamina in Bontan have operated. The president also highlighted non-mining employment in East Kalimantan that tends to be positive but still cannot boost economic growth in East Kalimantan. Therefore, President Joko Widodo also instructed his staffs to accelerate infrastructure development in East Kalimantan, including the construction of transportation roads and supporting infrastructure for regional development processing industry. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Sea region in Indonesia and Southeast Asia is a strategic route for shipping and trade. The waters has a big potential for fishery and marine resources. However, optimization of security and safety is necessary for the waters. The cooperation maritime sector among countries in the region can be the right solution to avoid worse potential. At the press briefing related with the National Seminar on Regional Maritime Security that took place in Jakarta on Tuesday, political and security expert of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Rifki Muna, explained that to address the challenge of security, ASEAN has an important role to reduce conflict and encourage cooperative security. He encouraged the efforts to create mutual trust and understanding among countries through the establishment of hotline among state leaders and maritime security. He thought that hotline can be used by the country's leaders in the region to communicate with dialogue partner countries to reduce the risk of border issues.
Dan itu dalam hubungan internasional menjadi salah satu channel dalam hubungan antar dua negara.
International relation becomes one of channels in relationship between two or more countries when there's a problem. Hotline could be built. I don't know at what level they are. It will help reduce wider issues of the possibility of the risk if an incident occurs.
Terjadinya persoalan yang lebih luas jika terjadi insiden.
Rifki Muna further explained that hotline can facilitate communication without waiting for bureaucratic process. Besides hotline, LIPI assesses that there are other things that can be used as a reference within a plan of regional maritime cooperation. It is agreed on codes of conduct at sea according to United Nations Convention on the Law of Sea, UNCLOS, and conduct a joint training. In addition, another important thing that can be built to strengthen regional maritime cooperation is to build cooperation based on domain awareness or knowledge about the dynamics that are taking place at sea that could impact the security, safety, economy, and soon. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi met with Australian Minister for Regional Development Fiona Ness on Tuesday. At the meeting, Australian expressed interest in cooperating with the Indonesian in tourism sector by offering the opportunity to open direct flights between Indonesia and Christmas Island. Minister Budi said Australia offers to attract the opportunity for cooperation to open direct flights between Indonesia and Christmas Island and collaborate in developing tourist attraction in Brisbane. It was agreed at the meeting that bilateral meeting between the two countries will be stepped up. Minister Budi also said the meeting also particularly discussed aviation, tourist attraction, and possible cooperation in developing separate regions in Australia and Indonesia. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said in Jakarta on Tuesday that a feasibility study for Jakarta Giant Sea Wall project will complete in 2 months' time. He said that the Giant Sea Wall will not be built in the near future. He predicted that development may only commence in 10 or 20 years time. The feasibility study will be conducted by Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, the National Development Planning Agency, the governments of South Korea and the Netherlands. Moreover, he revealed that the government is currently working on other projects. Minister Luhut added that the government will build levees to arrest land subsidence. The project spans 20 kilometers across North Jakarta Bay. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Minister for National Development Planning Bambang Brojonegoro, Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaian, Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono held a meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday to discuss National Capital Integrated Coastal Development NCICD Master Plan. The Minister of Public Works and Public Housing was handed over the main task of completing the coast wall at Jakarta Bay and the feasibility study on the Jakarta Giant Sea Wall, termed the NCICD. Minister Basuki said that his ministry has signed an agreement to complete a 20-kilometer coast wall this year and has already completed 4.5 kilometers. There are fundamental differences between coast wall project and giant sea wall. The coast wall is made to reduce a tidal flood in North Jakarta. The construction of the dike will also be conducted at various critical points. The last item, Jakarta police have detained 63 Taiwanese citizens and Indonesian national alleged involved in international fraud syndicate. The foreign nationals were arrested in various locations in Jakarta on Tuesday. Jakarta police spokesman Chief Commissioner Raden Prabowo Argo Yuwono said that the syndicate is from Taiwan. They steal data of banks' clients in China and Taiwan, and they contacted the victims in the two countries pretending to be members of law enforcement institutions in Taiwan. Members of this syndicate played different roles when contacting the victims, including as a police officers, prosecutors or bank officials. Argo added the suspect told the victims that they were being investigated in a criminal case. Then they would demand money to be wired in return for dropping the case. Argo added Indonesian investigators will cooperate with the Taiwanese police to expose the syndicate. The investigators will also cooperate the immigration office to deport those suspects when the time comes. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Codes of Conduct on South China Sea set by Beijing to solve the conflict or not. The discussion on codes of conduct on the South China Sea is entering a new phase. As reported by Reuters news agency, China's foreign ministry claimed to have completed the initial draft of the codes of conduct for the South China Sea. The codes of conduct on the South China Sea are actually not a new thing because they were initiated in 2010. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said that the completion of this first draft may further ease the tension in the disputed region. Since 2012, China and ASEAN member countries have started to think about a set of rules and codes of conduct aiming to avoid open conflict, which both of them claim the South China Sea. Indonesia, as initiator of the codes of conduct, submitted initial proposals in 2012. In late September 2012, the then Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Marty Natalegawa provided a draft to the 10 ASEAN foreign ministerial meeting on the sidelines of the 67th session of UN General Assembly in New York, USA. Indonesian proposal was related to the codes of conduct on the prevention and resolution of conflicts in the South China Sea. The Indonesian step is a concrete manifestation of the previous discussion at ASEAN Foreign Ministerial Meeting that took place in Cambodia in July 2012. The initiative of Beijing to follow up the proposed items of codes of conduct is positive, as we know that the conflict in the South China Sea involves four ASEAN member countries, namely China, the Philippines, Brunei Darussalam, and Vietnam. China itself claims virtually the entire area of economically potential as its territory. Last year, tensions occurred between the Philippines and China as a result of territorial claims on the islands of Spratly. The result of International Arbitration Court in the Den Haag, won by the Philippines, is not recognized by the government in Beijing. The tensions continue because in addition to China, Taiwan is also involved. The completing parties have not known exactly the draft contents of the codes of conduct set by Beijing, and this will be offered by Beijing. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi said that there is some progress on the discussion of the codes of conduct, even Beijing claims that China and ASEAN have created a stable situation. Beijing feels that the stability should not be interrupted by other parties, especially United States of America. In the perspective of foreign involvement of outside parties of ASEAN on the issue of the South China Sea, the conflict seems to continue, although there is a new page on the discussion of the codes of conduct to address the crisis in the South China Sea region. Indonesia, as a country that proposed the basic elements of the codes of conduct, should be able to further play a major role. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 10, 1950, when monetary policy cutting off by Syafruddin began to be applied in Indonesia. The monetary policy cutting off by Syafruddin is a monetary one decided by Syafruddin Prawira Negara, the Minister of Finance in Hatta's Cabinet II, which began to be applied on March 10, 1950. According to the policy, red money or nikah money and the money of the Jafash Bank from the denomination of 5 rupiahs was cut off to be 2. The left cutting was still valid as legal payment tool with a value of half from the original value until August 9, 1950 at 6 p.m. The right one was invalid, but it could be changed with the state obligation worth a half from the original value and will be paid 40 years later with interest of 3% a year. The policy of Syafruddin was also valid for bank deposits. The denomination under 2.5 rupiahs was not sharing, and so was the money of the Republic of Indonesia or ORI. The policy was made to handle economic situation in Indonesia, which at the time was collapsed due to debt pile, high inflation, and soaring price. With such controversial policy, Syafruddin aimed to smash once but to be able to shoot some targets, and reimburse currency which were assortment with new currency, to reduce the amount of money in circulation, to curb inflation, to lower prices of goods, and to fill government coffers with compulsory loan, which the amount of which was expected to reach $1.5 billion. The next event was in 1977, when Palapa A2 satellite belonging to Indonesia was launched from Kennedy Space Center in United States. Palapa A2 was a communication satellite belonging to Indonesia and operated by Telecommunication Public Company. Palapa A2 was launched on March 10, 1977 by a Delta 2914 rocket and has been operated in Orbit 77BT since March 11, 1977. Palapa A program was begun when the government of Indonesia gave two separated contracts on Boeing satellite systems. In the past, it was known with the name Huge Space and Communication Inc. from the United States to provide two satellites, namely Palapa A1 and Palapa A2. Also, a main control station for the second satellite and 9 Earth stations. Construction of the 10 stations were finished within 17 months. the separate contract was to build totally 30 Earth stations to be operated by the company. The name Palapa itself was chosen by President Suharto in July 1975. Palapa A2 satellite was aimed as a backup and ready to be operated when Palapa A1 failed or the market demand could not be accommodated anymore by Palapa A1 alone. And the last event was in 1945 when Tokyo was bombed in the Second World War. The bombing of Tokyo, often referred to as a series of firebombing raids, was conducted as a part of the air raids on Japan by the United States Air Force during the Pacific campaigns of the Second World War. The USA first mounted a small-scale raid on Tokyo in April 1942. Strategic bombing and urban area bombing began in 1944 after the long-range B-29 Super Fortress bomber entered service, first deployed from China and thereafter the Mariana Islands. B-29 raids from those islands began on 17 November 1944 and lasted until August 15, 1945, the day Japan capitulated. The Operation Meeting House air raid of March 9 to 10, 1945 was later estimated to be the single most destructive bombing raid in history. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's focus is about Indonesia-South Africa cooperate in various sectors. Stay tuned. Listener, President Joko Widodo welcomed the visit of the South African President, Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma, in the State Palace, Jakarta, on March 8, 2017. Both had a bilateral meeting on cooperation in various sectors. In a press conference at the same date, President Joko Widodo explained that the cooperation between the two countries proved the seriousness of Indonesia's government in building ties with South Africa. Moreover, both countries are members of the G20 and active in the South-South cooperation. The Indonesian president expected the cooperation between Indonesia and the South Africa partnership, both in the South-South cooperation and the new strategic Asia-Africa partnership, can be both intensified. For a more strategic cooperation, the two countries proposed three agreements. The first is on visa waiving for the holder of diplomatic and official passports. Then there's an agreement on international diplomatic training, and the other is about action plan of the 2017-2021 Indonesia-South Africa Strategic Partnership. According to President Joko Widodo, in the trade sector, both countries agreed to discuss the reduction of tariff and non-tariff barriers for main products and commodities. The cooperation can also be raised into higher level through the Southern African Customs Union, or SACU. In 2 months, the president promised to send Indonesian delegations, either ministerial level or the business people, to see the trade potential that can be developed. In his visit to Indonesia, the South African President Jacob Zuma also visited the fifth president of Indonesia, Megawati Sukarnoputri. After welcoming the South African president in her residence on March 8, 2017, the fifth president admitted to feel honored with the visit. Megawati said that the visit of President Zuma to Indonesia was responding to her visit to South Africa during her reign, when she met President Mandela, as well as Jacob Zuma. She also said that the ties between Indonesia and South Africa had a very long story and has been harmonious. Even according to Megawati, there are two Indonesian heroes who were also considered as heroes in South Africa, namely Sukarno and Sheikh Yusuf. Megawati said their visit can increase the relationship between the countries and between parties. Listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the meeting of the six Indonesian presidents, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and the present Indonesian President Joko Widodo, is a positive signal for the world. The use of mercury in mining activities in Indonesia has reached the alarming level. President Joko Widodo at the limited cabinet meeting on mercury use in traditional mining or small-scale coal mining companies said on Tuesday that at least 850 mining locations across Indonesia had bad impact on the environment. President Joko Widodo encouraged the alternate economic development in East Kalimantan province. In his speech at the limited cabinet meeting on evaluation of the implementation of national strategy projects and priority programs in East Kalimantan, President Joko Widodo stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that the development is very necessary to overcome global economic struggle in the mineral and coal sector. Sea region in Indonesia and Southeast Asia, a strategic route for shipping and trade, the waters has big potential for the fishery and marine resources. Indonesian Transportation Ministry Budi Karya Sumadi met with Australian Minister for Regional Development Fiona Ness on Tuesday. At the meeting, Australia expressed interest in cooperating with Indonesia in tourism sector by offering the opportunity to open direct flights between Indonesia and Christmas Island. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Minister for National Development Planning Bambang Brojonegoro, Environment Forest Minister Siti Nurbaya and Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono held a meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday to discuss National Capital Integrated Coastal Development and CICD Master Plan. Jakarta police have detained 63 Taiwanese citizens and an Indonesian national allegedly involved in international fraud syndicate. The foreign national were arrested in various locations in Jakarta on Tuesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Kaliwonan tradition. So stay tuned. Listener, Pangandaran is one of regencies which become a leading tourism destination in West Java province. No wonder indeed, many tourists visit there. The regency has at least 8 exotic beaches. The famous one which mostly visited is Pangandaran Beach. There are natural baths, natural reserves, as well as natural caves. There is also a tradition, art and culture of the people, which still continue to be preserved. This is certainly adds to the appeal of Pangandaran Beach. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you to a unique tradition of the local people of Pangandaran, which is still preserved until nowadays, namely the Kaliwonan tradition. Kaliwonan tradition is bathing tradition of toddlers, which was inherited by the people hereditarily in the Pangandaran. The tradition never shifted, both the procedure or practice, despite the change of times. This traditional ceremony is usually done every Friday. Why on Friday? Because, in view of Islamic teaching, Friday is a special day. While in view of culture, Friday is the day where angels and the spirits of the ancestors will give blessing to their children and grandchildren, especially for those who carry out the ancestors' tradition. Listener, Kaliwonan toddler tradition is believed as one of the traditions to acquire blessing for children for their life safety, physical health, and have a positive aura appeal. Kaliwonan bathing tradition by using flower water. There has been recited prayers while massaging the baby in a certain part of body by reciting incantations. The water is prepared with some provisions including ancient coins made of metal balm with a picture of Queen Wilhelmina and sacred natural stone. In addition, it is also prepared a variety of foods and water in a bottle, then taken back to their respective homes. Listener, in addition to obtain blessing, the Kaliwonan toddler's tradition is usually used as a means of gathering of residents and sharing experiences between mothers for care of their children so that the tradition is socially beneficial. In addition, the local people also believed the child who become an object in Kaliwonan tradition has a good behavior. Listener, that was the Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kaliwonan Tradition. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and goodbye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian Film Artists Association Day. Stay tuned. Listener, the establishment of Indonesian Film Artists Association Day started due to its absent activities during the Japanese occupation in Indonesia. The establishment of the profession organization by the artists has been initiated since 1940, when Indonesian Artists Union was formed. The members of Indonesian Artists Union are the theater artists, dancers, directors, singers, and painters. In 1951, Association of Indonesian Film and Theatre Artists, PERSAFI, was established, but this association also experienced a setback in its activities. The first Parvi Congress was held in 1953. It was officially inaugurated by the First Lady Fatmawati Soekarno Putri on March 10, 1956. Then it was set as Parvi Day. Parvi is the only Indonesian artist association to fight for the ideas of Indonesian film industry, as expected by Umar Ismail, who was one of the founders of Parvi. Umar said that through film, Parvi could give contribution to the Indonesian revolution. In a small book to commemorate 24 years establishment of Parvi, it is said that Parvi is not a political party and will never join in a political practice. In 1964, in the era of New Order, this organization involved some of its members in politics. After getting rid of itself from politics, Parvi is well known by Indonesian people through several activities, such as cultural, social and environmental ones. Today, Parvi branches have been established in several regions of Indonesia. In its 61 years old, Parvi was led by Marcela Zalianti, who was officially installed on October 24, 2016. Under her leadership, Parvi members run several programs with the theme ACTION that stands for Active, Creative, Total, Innovative, Organizer and Nationalist. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Indonesian Film Artists Association Day. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to our regular segment Music Corner. To begin our segment, let's enjoy a pop dangdut song released in 2013 entitled Ajari Aku Tuhan, sang by one of Indonesia's phenomenal dangdut singer, Zaskia Gotik. Listener, you've just heard Ajari Aku Tuhan by Zaskia Gotik. Zaskia Gotik is popular in the Indonesian dangdut music world. The daughter of Surkiani was known for her unique wobble, which was called Goyang Itik or Itik Wobble. The short form Goyang Itik or Gotik later became a popular name for Zaskia. At first, Zaskia sang in villages for celebrations with basic accompaniment and for very movies. Zaskia Gotik, who has been singing since she was 5 years old, never felt bored singing for villages. She was always motivated to keep singing and to entertain her dangdut fans. She was also motivated to continue singing in order to support her family financially. She has her own unique wobble and a beautiful voice. Due to her persistence, today, Zaskia Gotik is one of Indonesia's most famous female dangdut singers. Her songs receive a warm welcome from music lovers, such as her title Tarik Selimut. Listeners, here is another song for you, just in her well-known hit Tarik Selimut. Listeners, since launching her songs in 2011, Zaskia Gotik often appears on shows on Indonesian television. Nowadays, Zaskia Gotik performs a variety of shows, ranging from appearances on small stages to big events, and she has already released at least 7 albums. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to a song called Cintaku Karena Allah by Zaskia Gotik. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Semuanya hanya milik Allah. Seperti juga isi hatiku telah kuserahkan untuk dirimu. Cinta dan rinduku kepadamu semua karena Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.